You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
For those tuning in, it's 6:37. You're listening to the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha, and we're taking a look at the AGOA agreement. It looks as though South Africa may yet live to fight another day under the agreement. I'm joined on the line by Amit Singh, who is a National Manager for Manufacturing at Nedbank Commercial Banking, to take a look at this and just reflect on what this means for South Africa. Good evening, Amit. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the importance of the AGOA agreement, obviously for manufacturing or for the manufacturing sector and the automotive sector in South Africa. The strategic benefits of being able to stay on until 2041.
Jim, yeah, thanks for having me on today. So, as you said, you know, we live to fight another day with the extension of the AGOA, and you know, this fight has been extended from 2000 onwards. I think in 2015 we were quite nervous about the fact either it's going to change, and then our infamous ships that docked at our ports, and that I was worrying, you know, are we going to extend this agreement? But I think where it's really important for us to maintain this relationship or this agreement with the states is that this allows us a host of additional market access. You know, it's there to stimulate our exports. If we have a look at the revenue generation alone with the states, it is really big money, least alone the fact the reputation that comes along with it. Again, you know, I think our OEMs within the country are here through the Automotive Production and Development Plan, commonly known as APDP, but the AGOA agreement definitely keeps them here for a longer period of time. And again, great benefits to the local OEMs in the expansion of their facilities, as well as tech upgrades. And I think we all know that this creates jobs for our country, which is something we desperately need. I think, Jimmy, ultimately, we've seen all developing countries being powerhouses of today as a result of the manufacturing industry and sector. And this agreement has that opportunity or potential to do the same for South Africa.
Mm. Amit, what are the other sides of the coin look like? What benefit does the US gain from extending this and from effectively not removing South Africa from the list at the moment?
So, well, the one thing we quite often underestimate, and you know, I myself had the same challenge many moons ago before being properly exposed to the manufacturing space and sector. We've got world-class facilities in South Africa through our OEMs, and if we have a look at the quality that we manufacture in South Africa, is really top-notch. You know, it's no worse or no better than any other country that we find out there. So when we look at the other side of the coin for the states, they're getting quality product, reasonable price. We've stuck through to our commitments, you know, despite supply chain challenges that we faced amidst COVID, despite what we're finding with regards to some of our ESCOM logistical challenges. South Africa's grit, as well as its automotive industry, has shown a tremendous amount of resilience. If we have a look at, you know, historically, South Africa in specific has been the gateway for the automotive industry and the manufacturing industry for Africa, and we hope to keep that place. So there's definitely benefit and potential that the United States would find in South Africa, and also the confidence that the OEMs have shown in South Africa by adding further investments and also, you know, increasing the capacity and production technologies here.
You mentioned the further investments, and what jumps to mind is the likes of Ford that have committed to increasing their plant capacity and their manufacturing capacity locally, and that's certainly been a benefit for us and hopefully will continue to create the jobs that we desperately need in that space. Amit, I want to look at the rest of the manufacturing space within South Africa. What is your outlook on that, given the constraints that we have globally, but also just if we sit from a South African perspective, there's been a lot of conversation from these same OEMs to say they need assistance from government on policy and on other directives so that they know that their investments would actually yield further fruit. I mean, I think of one isolated example in the form of the electric vehicles or the hybrid vehicles, the likes of BMW as well, coming into the space saying we need direction on this so that we know how we're going to be able to operate in South Africa.
Yeah, so I think this is where we lag behind quite often. You know, there's the lens of saying that as a country we want to take from the lessons that the European countries have made and the decisions they've made. We want to adapt to not making the same errors of the past. But you're 100% correct insofar as saying that, that these OEMs are looking for a greater sense of guidance, a greater sense of policy. Again, I think, you know, the in February this year, that 150% tax deduction was a good start. It was definitely a good start in terms of what government is willing to do in terms of promoting the production of electric and hydrogen-powered vehicles in South Africa. Is that where it stops? Definitely not. What I am convinced that that's a start to something that is there to happen. I think we often speak about the APDP and that plan and what that was set out to achieve, and many of those targets were set for 2035. However, if we look at the lay of the land of when that, let's call it, plan was put together between then and now, what has happened and the global disruptions, that plan needs to be aggressively reviewed. But in saying that, Jimmy, I think where I do take a lot of comfort, and specifically I'll touch on automotive and I'll go through to some of the other sectors, specifically in the automotive space, if you have a look at some of the industry bodies, the likes of NAMSA and NARCAM, and they've rallied behind the industry quite strongly. And I think that is where the automotive industry specifically shines bright amongst the other manufacturing sectors, is a result of these bodies and the work and effort that these bodies are putting in to represent this industry adequately. But there's definitely no doubt about the fact that there definitely needs to be a greater sense of government involvement. We are seeing the commitments, we are seeing the green shoots, but it's more so on how is this followed up. Again, you know, quite often we might think to ourselves that we're fighting against the likes of Europe and America and so on and so forth. The reality is we're fighting against our brothers and sisters up north in Africa. Countries like Cameroon, etc., developing a tremendous amount of abilities and capabilities in their countries. So it's no longer even looking at the threat outside of Africa. It's a threat within Africa that actually poses to be a great challenge. So we need to move past to remain to be the gateway for manufacturing in Africa.
We need to do the most to keep that strategic advantage. Thank you so much for those insights, Amit. That's Amit Singh, a national manager for manufacturing at Nedbank Commercial Banking, joining me to reflect on parts of the AGOA agreement and the AGOA agreement being extended to 2041. And in line with that extension, I just want to get a different perspective on it. And I'm joined on the line by economist at APSA, Peter Worthington. Peter, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. You just heard the conversation I had with Amit around the importance of the AGOA agreement, but I want to look at the impact that this extension will then have, given that we are discussing things like the Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement, as well as the developments coming from the BRICS bloc. Obviously, the US not very comfortable with the establishment and the growth of the BRICS bloc at this stage. How are these going to likely impact the considerations when we look at AGOA?
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Listen, I think it's important to understand that although the AGOA agreement in general is being extended, the U.S. still retains the right to suspend countries from AGOA if they deem the country not to be satisfying sort of basic democratic principles or acting in ways which are sort of opposed to U.S. interests. And so the risk of expulsion remains. The agreement is being extended for sure, and there's going to be no immediate review of South Africa, but they always have the right to review at any point in time a country's participation, and they have expelled various countries before from AGOA for not meeting those principles that I mentioned. I would also say, relative to what Amit said, I'm not of the view that AGOA is hugely important to South Africa in the very narrow sense that the tariffs that we actually have on our exports to the U.S. are actually pretty low overall, even in the absence of AGOA. So there's this thing called the Most Favored Nation regime. Our tariffs under that regime, which the U.S. applies to everybody, are just 1.1% on average, because most of the products that we export to the U.S., things like precious metals and the like, entered into the U.S. tariff-free. It is true, though, that for some sectors like motor vehicles, we have a sort of a bigger difference in under MFN versus AGOA. But even then, under the MFN regime, the tariffs that are on South African vehicle exports to the U.S. are only 2.5%. And this is quite different from a lot of the other countries that are under AGOA, where we have much more textile exports and other types of goods which have a very high U.S. Tariff. The thing that I would also just point out is that we're facing pretty significant elections coming in the U.S. where at least one of the presidential candidates has sort of threatened sort of a 10% worldwide tariff on imports into the U.S. So we'll see what happens if Mr. Trump is reelected as president. I think we could have a quite different outcomes in the future, depending on whether it's Biden versus Trump who wins.
That's actually a very, very valid point there. We know they have very contradictory policies or approaches to how they want to govern and lead America, and that will definitely drive a lot of the conversations that are happening there. Peter, before I let you go, I want to look at the sudden change of heart from the U.S. senator's perspective. As you mentioned, yes, we can have South Africa be reviewed at any point in time outside of this extension, so we are not necessarily off the potential naughty list, so to speak. But why would U.S. senators, even those that were against South Africa remaining on this agreement, suddenly want to take a different stance? Is it because the elections are somewhat of a bigger concern, and from a South African perspective, at least, we might be a stronger strategic ally into the continent as opposed to an enemy at this stage?
Listen, that could be part of it. It's hard to know what's in the mind of the senators who decided to drop this little requirement that South Africa be faced with an immediate review. Certainly in the White House currently, they have an incumbent who is, I think, pretty favorably disposed towards South Africa. So I think they're just giving themselves the optionality of deciding how to treat South Africa and the whole host of other countries with this extension, and the nuances of which country is going to be allowed to continue to benefit or not, that will be dealt with on an ongoing basis as things evolve. I do think, though, you've touched on something, which is that the U.S. has a challenge a little bit with South Africa. The U.S. kind of wants to keep us on side as there's this growing alliance, if we can put it that way. You mentioned it in terms of BRICS, of countries that are sort of increasingly acting in a sort of a coordinated fashion against U.S. interests. I don't think that they want to sort of escalate any negativity. They want to try and keep us on side, at least for now.
Well, we'll always see how that develops. We know with the U.S., the picture can change overnight. We'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for those insights, Peter. That's Peter Worthington, who is an economist at APSA, joining me to reflect on some other parts pertaining to the AGOA agreement and this potential extension to 2041.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.